Chapter 3. The Penis. The penis is a complex organ, particularly when it comes to its erectile capacity. Blood pumped from all over the body contributes to an erection, or hard-on, in three steps. First, nerve stimuli cause the muscles in the walls of tiny penile blood vessels to relax and thus accommodate greater blood volume in the organ. Then the penis gains erectness and stiffness as three tubes that run its length engorge with blood. Two of these tubes, spongy tissue called corpora cavernosa, absorb most of the blood, while some goes to a third tube, the corpus spongiosum, which is the covering of the urethra, itself the tube that runs through the penis and carries semen and urine. Once filled, the penis traps the blood inside to maintain the erection. Blood volume in an erection is 6 to 8 times the normal flow to the penis. Any malfunction of the nerves, blood vessels, or other tissues serving the penis can cause an erectile problem. The product of this process is, of course, an erection, the size of which is the most frequently expressed concern of men regarding their penises. Male erections generally range from 4.5 inches to 8 inches, but most are 6 inches, and most men wish their erections were bigger. But that aside, other concerns include minor bends in the erect penis, technically called chordae, which are not uncommon. These do not interfere with function, though surgery may be necessary to correct severe chordae. Some helpful statistics about erections were amassed by an enterprising lady who worked in a massage parlour. She put the tape to the erections of 1,681 of her customers, presumably as part of her warm-up routine, and published her findings in Playboy. Her research indicated that 97% of the men she measured achieved erections of the average 6 inches. Only 7 came up to 8 inches. Still, a fact that many, if not most, men are reluctant to accept is that penis size is for the most part irrelevant to sexual satisfaction for either a male or female. Nature placed the sensitive nerve endings that facilitate orgasm at the most practical point possible, up front. On a man they are at the head, glands of his penis. On a woman they are at a protrusion above the opening of the vagina, clitoris. Stimulation, not depth of thrust, is all that is needed. Alex, a 54-year-old photographer, confided that he had always been embarrassed because he thought his penis was too small. Even with a full erection, he couldn't get a condom to stay on unless he first wrapped a Kleenex around his penis. I assured him that no matter what its size, his penis was big enough to have intercourse. Hundreds of times I've heard a man complain about his penis size, but never because it was too big. Circumcision. Usually performed shortly after birth, circumcision is the surgical removal of the foreskin that covers the head of the penis. The practice dates back to 4000 BC among tribal cultures in several parts of the world. Today it is performed for religious or medical reasons. Among Jews, for instance, circumcision has long and still symbolizes Abraham's covenant with God, as stated in the book of Genesis. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Genesis 17, 10 and 11. In the United States, circumcision is a fairly routine procedure for non-religious as well as religious reasons. The custom is much less prevalent in Europe, although a few operations are performed based on medical opinion. And while medical opinion is in fact undecided about the use of circumcision for health reasons, and debate on the relationship between circumcision and cancer a source of diverse opinions and conflicting scientific proofs, the fact nevertheless remains that the great majority of penile cancer victims were not circumcised at birth. Thus it seems reasonable to suggest circumcision as a precaution against such a devastating disease. Be that as it may, there is some agreement on medical issues concerning circumcision. There is no proof that circumcision protects against venereal disease. There is conflicting evidence regarding cancer of the cervix in sexual partners of uncircumcised men. Circumcision may prevent penile cancer, though proper retraction of foreskin and cleaning of the penis also appears to be a means of prevention. In young boys, those who are not circumcised show a significant increase in urinary tract infections when compared to rates for circumcised boys. Meatitis inflammation of the opening of the urethra, and Meatal stenosis occur more frequently in circumcised boys than they do in uncircumcised boys. Injuries from circumcision are rare, but do occur and vary greatly in severity. Occasionally, such injury will require an additional procedure to be corrected. Circumcision is a simple excision of the foreskin. Infection, should it occur, can easily be treated with an antibiotic ointment. Significant injury to the penis itself is rare. Problems. Impotence. The most common and most disturbing sexual problem among men is the absence of erectile function. For years, the reasons for impotence were thought to be psychological. It's all in his mind. But the role of physical factors is becoming more and more evident as research accumulates. Alcohol is one factor that can cause problems that go beyond one night's failure. Smoking is another. Diabetes too can cause impotence even at an early age because the disease damages nerves and blood vessels. And owing to its commonness and complexity, impotence is the subject of a separate section of this book. See Chapter 5. Impotence is the most pervasive penile sexual problem that can arise, but there are others as well. Here are some. Penile injury. The erect, inflexible penis can be injured during intercourse, usually when it thrusts abruptly against a woman's pubis or pubic bone. Swelling, bleeding, impotence, and sometimes deformity of the penis can result, particularly if the injury goes untreated. In one such case, a college student literally broke off his penis in his girlfriend when she was straddling him during vigorous intercourse. As he thrust deeply into her, he suddenly fell backward, bending his erect penis inside her. Both heard a pop. The suspensory ligament of the penis was broken, causing internal bleeding. This fellow didn't go to a hospital for 2 days, too late for effective surgical repair. As a consequence, his penis was permanently deformed, and from then on he was unable to achieve normal erections. In addition to this sort of injury, the penile urethra also can be permanently damaged by plastic swizzle sticks, ballpoint pens, hat pins, or other objects stuck into it to stimulate sensation. Whatever the cause of injury, any penile injury should be treated by a doctor immediately. Peyronie's disease. François de la Peyronie first described the functional shortening and curvature of the penis in 1743. It is a relatively common problem, occurring in men ranging in age from teen years on into their 80s. Its cause remains unknown. Typically, patients are between 45 and 60 years old. Difficult intercourse is commonly associated with this problem, but only half of patients may experience painful erections. The usual presenting sign of Peyronie's is a lump or growth on the top side of the penis. It is formed by a substance called plaque and feels like gristle. The past few decades have yielded significant advances in the understanding of Peyronie's disease. New non-invasive techniques and limited surgical techniques have been developed, though they should be discussed with a urologist before any procedure is attempted. Moreover, various medications may also be tried prior to more drastic surgical procedures. Vitamin E, a free radical scavenger, may offer improvement and is appropriate treatment initially in patients waiting on a decision about definitive treatment. Surgical removal of plaques has been attempted, but scarring sometimes results with little, if any, improvement. In the most severely deformed penis, the most effective treatment may be a penile prosthesis. The good news in all of this is that this disease is still being studied, and research seems to show a high incidence of spontaneous improvement in Peyronie's patients. In addition, simple reassurance helps to improve the condition, at least from a psychological standpoint. Many patients immediately think cancer when they develop Peyronie's plaques in their penis, and they rest much easier when they learn that their condition is something else entirely, something that might even clear up on its own with time. Joe, a patient of mine, provides an example of a relatively typical Peyronie's case. A 55-year-old carpenter, he came in with a lump near the top of his penis. For the past 3 months, his erections bent at that point and were painful. The erections were no longer full, but looked like an hourglass, as though blood was not getting through. When this man tried intercourse, his penis bent back on itself. Because of the lump, he feared cancer. I prescribed vitamin E, but perhaps helped most by reassuring him that the condition was not cancer, and that in one-third of patients it disappears or softens without treatment. In 3 months his pain was gone, and he could have intercourse again, but carefully, because his shaft was still bent slightly.